This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And there you have it. There you have it. The world did not end over the weekend. Despite what you thought might happen, the world did not end over the weekend. Make no mistake, it's very different today than it was. We wake up to a new normal, that's for sure. We'll get to that in just a second. First, let me warn you that what's going on in Greece, the Greek banks are going to be shut for a week. The most you can pull from an ATM, 60 euro, about 60 bucks. Maybe a little less now. Euro's in trouble, free-falling. Greece forgot to pay its bills for a long time. America has an $18 trillion debt. If you don't think it can happen here, wake up. The Puerto Rican capital of San Juan now telling Washington it cannot pay back its $72 billion public debt. That's about the same as the state of Michigan, by the way. Similar to the state of Michigan's public debt, which is $75 billion. Best case, by the way, could be twice that. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla's spokesman, Jesus Manuel Ortiz, confirmed that the island's government is seeking to defer payments while negotiating with creditors. Keep an eye on these things, my friends. Keep an eye. America's in deep debt, and nobody pays attention. So, to the Supreme Court. To the Supreme Court. Because today, three more big issues coming out. Lethal injection, redistricting, and mercury emissions cases. In lethal injection, it's being argued that the drug does not work suitably well to execute a prisoner properly. Justices Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor said that without proper sedation, the use of the drug that is used to stop a person's heart would be like being burned at the stake. Justices will also hand down a ruling on independent redistricting commissions. That's gerrymandering. That's coming up. And the other high-profile ruling scheduled for today involves mercury emissions. Industry groups in Republican-led states assert that environmental regulators overstepped their bounds by coming up with expensive limits on the emissions of mercury and other toxic pollutants from power plants without taking account of the cost of regulation at the start of the process. The first ever limits on mercury emissions, more than a decade in the making, began to take effect in April. We live in a new world. A world ruled by five attorneys. Five unelected attorneys run this country. The Supreme Court's landmark decision, however, on gay marriage handed down in a dramatic 5-4 ruling Friday, relied heavily on the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. The majority opinion held, in part, from my reading, a license issued for the exercise of a constitutional right in one state must be respected in all the other states under the Equal Protection Doctrine. Now, I do find that to be a compelling argument, and apparently so does the United States Supreme Court. The question now is whether or not that respect must also be extended to the licenses issued by the many states for citizens to carry concealed weapons, and most commonly handguns and pistols. Here in Michigan, the license is commonly referred to as a CPL, or concealed pistol license. The license is honored in most states, but there are notable exceptions like New York, Massachusetts, and nearby Illinois, with arguably the most restrictive gun laws and no reciprocal agreement with the 39 states on CPLs. It seems to me that those American citizens with a CPL have a more compelling argument for reciprocity than those with a marriage license, as the court ruled in Heller versus D.C. that gun ownership, of course, is an individual right, and that right is also an enumerated right as written in the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. Now, marriage, of course, is not included in the U.S. Constitution anywhere that I've read it, nor enumerated in the many amendments. Not that I've seen. Have you? The justices seem to make perfectly clear in their decision to uphold gay marriage license that it was a matter of equal protection under the law, and therefore such licenses must be recognized by all 50 states. With respect to the 14th Amendment, it seems clear that this would also reinforce the Supreme Court decision in McDonald versus Chicago, issued 2 years after Heller, that found in part the Second Amendment recognized in Heller is applicable to the states through the Due Process Clause of the 14th. In so holding, the court reiterated in part, the Second Amendment protects the right to keep and bear arms for the purpose of self-defense. So in summarizing again the court's latest decision, a license issued for the exercise of a constitutional right in one state must be respected in all the other states under the Equal Protection Doctrine, period. Though liberal thought and logic rarely commingle, it is hard to fathom how one cannot see the irony of the ruling and how the rights outlined in defense of gay marriage could not extend to the legally licensed concealed weapons owners all across all 50 states in the United States of America. Unintended consequences of judicial activism can be very difficult to explain away. Very difficult indeed. And we have found ourselves in a post-Christian America. It is a new playing field today. And I don't begrudge my gay friends their celebration, their joy. But I do begrudge the Supreme Court for plowing through new territory, creating, in effect, new law. Once again, an activist court protecting Obamacare and taking the rights away from the states when it comes to gay marriage. Now, it is the settled law of the land. There is no discussing this without legislation. You see, the court is there to interpret legislation as a general rule. But when there are aggrieved parties or somebody doesn't feel they have equal protection under the law, the court is there for that as well. And that is the case as happened on Friday. But the stunning dissent from Antonin Scalia is well worth your time in reading. The strongest dissent I have ever read. But we move forward. When we come back after the break, I'm going to discuss some of the things that will be gone in 50 years or less as we continue down this path towards utopia. It's Monday on the Steve Gruber Show. Welcome to it.
The Steve Gruber Show. Jump starting your day with the news that matters.
After the hour on a Monday, you're going to need a pencil. We'll be going over a couple of things here you'll need to write down because there could be a test. Paul J. Bradley, the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Kalamazoo, says the United States Supreme Court ruling legalizing gay marriage, quote, raises serious concerns since it has changed the social fabric that serves as the very foundation of our society. However, our disagreement should not be confused with discrimination or intolerance. We will continue our strong stance against unjust discriminatory actions against any person, regardless of their sexual orientation. We'll keep an eye on that. You know, The world didn't end over the weekend. And Canada has had fully legal gay marriage for a decade. It's been in effect legal there since the 90s. And it hasn't torn down that society quite yet. Canada, clearly different than we are. But I do think it sets us on a track right now with five lawyers deciding what's the law of the land. Five unelected lawyers sitting in Washington, D.C. And there's no, we have no recourse against that. And I think there's some other things that we will see disappear in the next 50 years or less if we stay on this track. The right to keep and bear arms will be one of the first things to vanish on the way to 2065. Gun ownership is such a quaint idea anyway, and such a focus on the now power-thirsty progressive movement. Make no mistake, the incremental destruction of the Second Amendment is about to commence. The left has never lost its focus of eliminating the private ownership of firearms altogether, and with Barack Obama picking up speed on his radical transformation of America, I believe it will begin before he leaves office in January 2017. That is, if he does in fact leave. Right now, I'm pretty sure he could get the Supreme Court to discard the 22nd Amendment and create some new interpretation of what it really was supposed to mean. That, of course, the one limiting his presidency to two terms. And don't laugh, because these things I'm about to lay out are far more likely than you'd care to admit. By the time my youngest son is my age, I seriously doubt the Second Amendment will be intact. In fact, I believe in 50 years' time, there will be almost no private ownership of weapons in America, and not just guns, but most types of archery equipment, certain knives, and anything else that might cause bodily harm. Possession of certain classes of these weapons will be punishable by very swift and severe zero-tolerance statutes, putting the guilty in prison for long terms, maybe as long as life for some firearms. The freedom of speech in 2065 will exist, but it will be very different than it is today. By that time, many mainstream religions will have been removed from nonprofit status and run into oblivion by an endless barrage of attacks from the left. Churches, in many respects, will be treated like modern-day hate groups and pariahs. The way gays and lesbians used to flock to secret weekend retreats and holidays to be among their own is the only way some churches will even survive. The American flag will still exist in some areas, but will be removed from primary and secondary schools and most government buildings because it offends too many people for its representation of racism, sexism, and imperialism. School kids will have no idea in 50 years how to recite the Pledge of Allegiance because they simply will have never heard it. Most, by the way, will have never heard the Lord's Prayer either. ATMs will disappear long before we reach the 50-year mark. After all, the cash will be eliminated much sooner. The financial collapse of Greece, followed by other European Union nations, will usher in the end of the EU and the euro, and in just a few short years, cash in nearly all nations, including the United States. The reasons given for the drastic move will be many. The party leaders will invoke fear of crime, illegal drugs, plus, of course, protecting the young and the elderly from being preyed on by crooked bankers and filthy criminals. A vibrant black market will spring up in the shadows, but getting caught could mean the loss of your home, your job, and likely even your freedom. The government will frown heavily on anyone operating outside, quote, the normal boundaries of society, end quote. The days of jumping into the car and running to the grocery store will be a thing of the past. Personal transportation was a luxurious extravagance that simply had to be eliminated. The party will be able to create new electric trolley lines to make sure you can get to work or the market, and that'll be more than enough. The planet, as you know, is being destroyed by this ridiculous endeavor of freedom and driving around. It's what we were told created global warming. Though in 50 years' time, the theory of global warming will be debunked as well, but it'll be too late. Private property rights will be one of the things that comes later on the list, but make no mistake, the idea of owning your own home or farm or, God forbid, cottage on a lake will be no more. The government will know far better who needs housing and who doesn't. The government will be best suited to determine where you should raise your kids, what schools they should attend, and later be able to help your kids pick the career path that best suits their individual talents. The idea that you would have your own home or decide which neighborhood to live in without consideration of all the implications doesn't even make sense, now does it? Cigarettes will actually be nearly gone by then. Smoking tobacco so totally frowned upon that only outcasts would even consider it. The penalties for smoking tobacco will be substantial and severe. However, the use of marijuana will be widespread and accepted. Beef. It's not what's for dinner in 50 years. Meat for your consumption will be nearly gone in 5 decades. The farms driven out of business by ever more and stricter regulations and lawsuits over water and air quality and the alleged link to global climate change. Farms will also be peppered with lawsuits from animal rights groups. The party bosses, of course, will still have steak on their plates, but yours likely will be no more than once a week and then just portions of 3 to 4 ounces. Maybe about once a week. That should be plenty. Electricity won't be gone, but it will be rationed 50 years from now. As the green energy movement comes up short of supplying the power we actually need to run this country or the world. This is just the beginning of the list that is going to vanish in the next 50 years. These things are going to disappear because liberty and freedom are evaporating before our eyes right now, leaving no choice but for the rest to follow suit. It's Monday on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show. Get the news and information vital to your world.
And can you of tender years can know the fears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with your years. They see the truth.
It is Monday. Welcome to it. Let's go to the hotline first. Keith on the line in Flint this morning. Keith, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show. I think it was a good move on 1470's part to put you on this in the morning, and glad to listen to you.
Thank you.
Very interesting thoughts this morning that you were reading, but my position is I ain't scared. I'm a Christian man, and I know the good Lord's in charge. He will do his will, and even though the Supreme Court has ruled in the manner they did on homosexual unions, God's will be done.
And I'm not disputing that, Keith, but I will say this. You know, the freedom of speech is going to change dramatically over the next few decades. The American flag will be removed because it's considered by some to be offensive. You know, these things are going to happen. The private property rights will be challenged. The use of fossil fuels, so-called, will be greatly scaled back. These things are going to happen, and you don't have to be scared about it, but you need to be aware of it so you can prepare accordingly. I mean,
right.
I stand by it.
I know where you're coming from, but, you know, the one thing that the Christian hope is the return of Jesus Christ, and he himself said that the generation that sees the rebirth of the nation of Israel, which occurred exactly on the day that it was prophesied, May 15th, 1948, he said that generation will not pass before his return. So that's the bottom line. Christ will return probably before 50 years, though we don't know the exact date. But thanks for taking my call, sir, and keep up the good job, and I sure do enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you so much for all those listening in 1470 in the Flint area. I could settle for Ronald Reagan returning right now. I'll be honest with you. And don't take that wrong, boys and girls. 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Here to bring some common sense to the table, Professor Alan Sachs, the professor of political science at the University of Texas in Arlington. Professor, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
So, the good news that I started with off the top of the program is the world did not end over the weekend. The world did not end despite what some thought. You know, there's a lot of action on social media, but may I read something to you? Professor, I'd like to read this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these truths are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, I bring that to your attention because Now, regardless of how you feel about the ruling on Friday and where it takes us as a nation, and I know a lot of people are concerned, the fact of the matter is, all men are created equal. It doesn't say gay men or straight men. It says all men. And so, you know, I'm not at complete odds with the court on their position, but I am at complete odds in many ways at how they got there. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you completely. The 14th Amendment, which I guess that decision was based upon, it talks about life, liberty, or property. And the issue of liberty, I think, is really what the court decision was based upon. And it's interesting because the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Chief Justice Roberts, if you read his dissent in the gay marriage case, and then you read his majority opinion in the Obamacare case, it sounds like it was written by two different people.
He's on drugs.
And a lot of people, and a lot of people have said the same thing.
Dr. Jekyll.
The court has become extremely political. It has been for a long time. I have a feeling when that began, it began with Senator Ted Kennedy, where he was on the Judiciary Committee, and they were interviewing the Supreme Court nominee at the time by Ronald Reagan, whose name was Robert Bork.
Yes, B-O-R-K-A-R-K. 1986.
And what they did is literally just, you know, and it, and the issue was, if I remember correctly, abortion. And they were really on him because they did not like his interpretation of the Ninth Amendment implied issue of the right to privacy. And he thought abortion should not be read into the Ninth Amendment. And they just skewered him in regard to that. And then, of course, Robert Bork did not get the nomination. And
did not get the confirmation.
Anthony Kennedy, who we heard from again, who wrote the majority opinion in the abortion case, I call it the Hodges case, the gay marriage case, Hodges. Then Robert Bork goes his way, and Anthony Kennedy becomes the nominee. Just incredible. And Anthony Kennedy, IBD, Investors Business Daily, had a very interesting editorial about all of this over the weekend. And Anthony Kennedy wrote the opinion in the gay marriage case. And Anthony Kennedy was touted as a very strong conservative, as was Chief Justice Roberts, who was appointed by President George W. Bush. So interesting ironies that have happened in this case.
Both proven to be less than staunch conservatives, to say the least. All right, so here's, you missed my conversation earlier, but one of my first observations, letting it digest, and I mean, I thought that Antonin Scalia's dissent on the Obamacare case was rough. What he wrote about this case with gay marriage was scorching. It's well worth the read, as I told people earlier. But I believe, because one of the arguments here for the 14th Amendment, and it is basically that other states have to recognize the marriage license in all 50 states to be reciprocal, right? Reciprocity is key here. You can't just have one state issuing a license that is constitutionally recognized license, right?
The fourth article of the United States Constitution talks about something called full faith and credit, where if all the laws and regulations of one state have to be recognized by the other state, with some exceptions like college tuition, driver's licenses, things like that, where they make some exceptions for a reasonable period of time.
Well, but driver's license, now hold on. The full faith and credit, this is the fourth article, right?
The fourth article.
Right. Well, then how in the world will the liberal justices be able to say that the 14th Amendment does not apply to concealed pistol licenses, concealed carry permits, legally licensed in the many states, 39 in fact? How can states like Illinois, New York, and Massachusetts not be, you know, told that they must respect those licenses that are enumerated in the Constitution, the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, not to recognize the concealed carry licenses issued by the many states?
The court makes up its law. The court, I think some famous justice one time said, the law is what the court says it is. And that's about the best answer I guess a person can give. It is very, very contorted. I've always argued that in regard to the Ninth Amendment, the implied issue of privacy, which is nowhere found in the Ninth Amendment, is implied. Why don't we take that to other areas of life, too? But the court hasn't done that. and in regard to drugs, for example, or other issues like that. So the Ninth Amendment is interpreted to mean the right to privacy in regard to abortion, but on other very, very important issues that also concern privacy, it's not there. And
hold on.
Going back to the...
Hold on right there. We got to hold that spot. We'll be right back with the professor right here on the Steve Gruber Show, Monday edition.
Michigan's radio program of record is the Steve Gruber Show. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's 45 after on this Monday. Steve Gruber Show. You can join the conversation like Keith did. 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. What are your thoughts today after these big Supreme Court rulings? And they're not done, by the way. There are more Supreme Court rulings coming today on gerrymandering, if you will. But the big one to watch today is to how far this court has gone left. Watch the big ruling today that'll come out on mercury emissions from power plants. The plaintiff saying that the Environmental Protection Agency clearly overstepped its bounds. If the EPA wins this case in front of the United States Supreme Court, all bets are off. The mud puddles in your driveway, good luck, because they will no longer be yours. They will be the property of the Environmental Protection Agency of the United States of America. Alan Sachs, the professor of political science at the University of Texas Arlington, still on the phone with us. Professor, this is a big case in a lot of respects that nobody paid attention to because of the other big cases.
Absolutely, and there's another case that may come down today, or likely tomorrow, but probably today, and that is, and you're right, it was on one was on gerrymandering, the other mercury emissions, the other on lethal injections. So we might see capital punishment pretty well gone by the wayside. And that's an interesting issue as well that used to be extremely controversial, but probably not so much today. My own state of Texas still executes more people than any other state, I believe. And it's a big controversy here in this state as well. And the court may have something to say about that today.
I think you guys have an express lane down there.
We do. It's not, strange enough, I'm extremely conservative, very much of a libertarian. But I really have some problems sometimes with capital punishment.
Me too.
I do want to lock them up for the rest of their lives, you know. But with capital punishment, I have some real problems.
I think violence begets violence.
That's right.
And I, you know, state-sponsored homicide, which, you know, the manner of death written on the death certificate is homicide whenever somebody is put to death by electric chair or lethal injection or firing squad or what your choice may be. So, yes, as a conservative, I don't fit neatly in anybody's little box, I'll tell you that. And whatever I am, I don't know what I am. I'm an American.
All these court decisions came out essentially on the wrong day last Friday, I believe. And what it was, I think the real news story was the terrorist attacks in France, and there was even one in Somalia, I believe, and in Tunisia. Those were, I think, the main issue of the day, though those terrible terrorist attacks credited by ISIS.
Let me ask you something, and I don't disagree with you on that. I think those are extremely important. In fact, we have an elevated threat risk to a level not seen in a very long time.
That's
coming
right
up for the 4th of July weekend from Homeland Security and others. But I want you, I read a brief article here today that I saw this morning as I was going through things. It says, good news, because the Environmental Protection Agency is going to be, will win this because they expected Antonin Scalia to write the decision, because, I don't know, certain judges, you know, write a certain number of decisions and each one gets to write a certain number, his name is not on the case, even though it should be, meaning that he's not writing for the majority, which means that the EPA wins this case.
That's right. If that is true, you're right, the court has lunged to the left very, very, very dramatically. It's interesting because the makeup of the court does go back, as we discussed a little bit earlier, to maybe 25, 35 years ago. And the impact of Senator Ted Kennedy, when he was on the Senate Judiciary Committee, is so critical. And also, it looms over a lot of other things as well. For example, in regard to immigration, President Lyndon Johnson is given credit for changing our immigration laws. But the individual that really pushed it through was Senator Ted Kennedy, and he was asked a very interesting question during that debate over the change of our immigration laws that was as dramatic as these court decisions. And he was asked, will it change our culture? And Senator Kennedy replied, no, it will not change anything very much, and there'll be very few immigrants that'll take advantage of it. Boy, has life changed.
Yeah, boy, has life changed. You know, and here's some, I went through a list of things today, Professor, that I think will be dramatically changed or gone in 50 years' time. The freedom of speech, I think, will be dramatically different. I don't think the churches will be allowed to talk about a lot of their theology, as they will be called hate groups and pariahs and pushed to the edge. I don't think that people will be able to talk about people's choices much at all, in fact. And publishing and considering anything about someone's chosen personal identity will be punishable, I believe, by prison time, because it'll be derogatory hate speech. Discussions of America and its founding fathers will be frowned upon. Won't even be taught in the public schools anymore, I don't think. I think it'll be, our kids will be taught that America was a place where white men took advantage of other people and exploited people for their own gain. You know, these are the sorts of things that I think are coming in mass.
You are absolutely correct. Our educational system has really become a propaganda mill in many places, more than an educational system.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think that other things that are, you know, you look what's happening in Greece, other things are going to be gone, like ATMs and cash, because Greece, you know, watching what's happening there, I think that's the story. The big story on the planet today is the fact that Greece is going down the tubes, and it is. You know, the ATMs are closed, the banks are closed, and on it goes.
It'll be interesting to see how our own stock market and the world markets react to this. Luckily, Greece is a very, very small country. If it was a large country, I think there would be economic shakes around the entire world. But it may not be so big today. I understand the International Monetary Fund is going to continue to bail them out for a short period of time.
Well, it might, but I'm going to tell you something. Greece is a small country, but so is Ireland. Spain is not huge.
That's right.
But on and on and on it goes, because it's one, then the next, and the next. You can't take care of all of them, that's for sure.
There was one major economic advisor I hear a lot here in Texas, and he's usually very, very conservative and doesn't talk about these things very much. And he said the very same thing going on in Greece could happen here. And that comment sort of shook me, knowing who this
is. Of course it can go on here. People say, well, that can never happen in America. Of course it could. Time to brace yourselves, boys and girls, because it's serious. Professor, always a pleasure. Good luck with those students today. Good luck in there.
Thank you.
52 after the hour. It's the Steve Gerber Show. Wish I had good news for you. More of it today. I don't. I've got some coming. Stick around for it on this Monday.